Welcome to First Coast Military Life, the weekly show that proudly dives into the stories, tackling the challenges, and celebrating the triumph of our region's veterans, active duty, and reserve service members. And celebrating the triumph of our region's veterans, active duty reserve service members, their families, and this great community that supports them. If it matters to military families and those who stand behind them, you'll hear it here on First Coast Military Life. Here's your host, retired Colonel Chris Budahas.
Before we get started, a big thank you to our show sponsors, Alexander Law Practice and the Navy Exchange, proudly serving authorized military and civilian patrons. Many veterans and military family members consider starting their own business as a new career path instead of working for someone else. Talking about it is easy, executing it successfully or not can be very hard. That's why I wanted to bring in a business and financial expert in the studio to talk about the realities, the risk, and the smart decisions behind building a business. Jason Englehart, good to see you.
Oh my gosh, what an intro. Thank you.
Jason's a great friend. He's been in this space for a while, and you know, even on my own journey, creating a couple companies here, we're getting ready to launch here in hopefully the next couple months. It's I've learned a lot in this space, and I know a lot of my peers look at that. So getting to know Jason, you over the last 2 years, I'm like, man, let's bring an expert in to talk about this, because you know the amount of small businesses started that fail seems pretty substantial.
Absolutely.
Know? And so before we get into that, Jason, if you don't mind, let's give the audience a little bit of backstory on you. You know, where you're originally from and what brought you here to Florida.
Sure. So I'm originally from New York. I born and raised there, and I jumped very quickly to raise our children in New Jersey. I worked on Wall Street, and I spent, it's funny, I was in Jacksonville years ago. When I say years ago, like the Homestead was still in business.
Wow.
And frankly, you had to drive through woods to get in there. I thought it was the coolest thing that you literally
That's changed a lot here.
Right. You literally got a bucket of chicken in a steel bucket. And I remember getting the Bruselli burger at McDonald's.
Wow.
So I think that's got to be 98.
Sounds like something around there.
And I fell in love with the city. And I was like, you know, I went back and I told my wife, we got to move to Jacksonville at some point.
Yeah.
Fast forward years later, and we've been here about 10 years now. Yeah. And I came down here for business, but also because of the lifestyle. And like I said, I fell in love with the city. And what's amazing is that the in the last 10 years, there's been some really great momentum in innovation and the ecosystem. And so much so that Jacksonville, I think in the last few weeks, has just been identified as a top five large city for innovation and startups. And I'm thrilled to be just a part of it.
Well, I look forward to deep diving into that a little bit more here. But before we get to that, so for you, what drew you into the, you know, the financial business space? I mean, you could have done a lot of things, you know, coming in, you know, going in school, you know, out of high school, and then you went to a pretty decent, well-known college, and then you could have chosen another career path. But why that career path?
It's interesting. When I went to school, my brother went to the same school as me, and my father was ill, he was ill most of my life, and because my brother was there, we got a discount.
Oh, okay.
And I was not thrilled to go there, but I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, my ego was, what's the most difficult degree that I could get? I didn't want to go into engineering, and it was then accounting.
Oh,
so
no kidding.
I went and I got my degree in accounting.
Yeah.
And from there, I decided I did not want to work in New York, and I did not want to work for one of the big six or eight firms. And I got an offer from Coopers & Lybrand in New York City in the entertainment division. And how do you turn that down?
Yeah.
So I took it. I was very lucky because while my friends were counting pennies at year end, I was doing a concert in Madison Square Garden. And I was dealing with really well-known musicians and actors, and it was an amazing experience. But from there, I then jumped around to some different places. I became international CFO of a media company, and then international CFO for American Express's emerging markets division. There I switched to what's now called product management, before they called it marketing.
Okay.
And I worked on really cool things at American Express, the Black Card, membership rewards. I'm the knucklehead that signed the contract with Continental Airlines to get access to the lounges, which has worked out pretty well.
No kidding. Wow.
And then I
didn't know that.
Yeah, so I did two tours of duty at Bank of New York.
Yeah.
Built products there. I then spent 10 years at J.P. Morgan, and I built a $52 billion business for J.P. Morgan as well as dozens of other products. From there, I became the CFO of a Fortune 50 company, which is, you know, kind of what got me down here. And then after that, I raised a lot of money for the Minnesota Timberwolves acquisition and became a COO, president of different fintechs and AI companies.
What makes you excited about Jacksonville?
The one thing I to try to tie this to military, right? I read a lot of books, right? You just shared with me a few books that were given to you from GE. When you're working at GE.
Yeah.
And what was so interesting is I worked with a lot of military on Wall Street. Some of them were West Point grads.
Okay.
One of my direct one of my direct managers was a West Point grad. And I thought it would be interesting. How do I figure out who this guy is? So I actually found a book called The West Point Way of Leadership.
Oh, no kidding. You read that.
So I read that.
Yeah.
And I'm literally on the PATH train going to the office.
Yeah.
I'm reading it, and my manager is standing in front of me, and he pushes the book down a little bit. He says, "That's not going to help you."
It's not an instruction manual.
Right.
But I'm sure it is. I'm sure you saw something. You're like, oh,
I did. I worked a lot of people that ended up being, I didn't know this, but they were Rangers and all kinds of different military experiences. And some guys disappeared, and they were still active, which was really kind of wild. And then the Extreme Ownership book came out.
Yeah, Jocko Willink,
And I'm now a CFO of a big company, and I think it's day three or four they asked me to speak to the audience, which was like 300 to 500 finance people around the country. So I spoke about the Extreme Ownership book.
Did you really?
And about the mission and what it means.
Yeah.
Luckily, it hit well because this was a, I would say, not the military style people.
No.
It was much more touchy-feely, squishy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can understand that being where you are, but I still took that approach. And that changed the atmosphere and it changed the mission of the finance team. And it was wonderful. A lot of people started to read that book and read other books because of it. So I just wanted to, you know, give a shout out to those military books as well as the process, the leadership, things that you guys learn while you're coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot of value in that. And I do appreciate that. You know, a couple of things. One, you know, so business structure, you know, having a business plan, having all the other plans within a business, you know, your go-to-market strategy, all that stuff is good, almost skeletal, right? Skeletal to the business, skeletal to the body.
Right.
Whereas those intangibles you speak of that Jocko, you know, brings up in Extreme Ownership is kind of the blood in the brain. Like, what are the principles, the values, what are the attributes, and then the behaviors within the organization to actually make this business successful? Because everybody's bought in, right? Because you're taking Extreme Ownership.
It's the discipline.
Yeah.
Right. It's really talking about that discipline and what does that mean? If you can take that, if you can internalize that with your business and start to understand that, it's not about, I hate to say it, the squishy stuff.
Yeah.
Right. It's about having the discipline to follow the path and understand what your business is and what it isn't.
You know, you're as a New Yorker, you were in that area when 9/11 happened. So I think you were probably very patriotic before that event, no doubt that's been solidified through, you know, actions our nation's taken since then.
So I was there. I was at the Trade Center. I was having breakfast at Windows on the World with a gentleman named Nick John. Nick's name is on the wall.
Oh, wow.
I got out because while we were going up to the Trade Center, I got a buzz because we didn't have phones back then. Yeah.
It was a beeper.
Yeah, I got it.
Kids, look that up.
Yeah, I got a buzz from my beeper that said I needed to get back to the office. So it was early in the morning. It was like 8 something.
Right.
And I'd already been there an hour or two. For those who don't understand, you work on Wall Street, you're there very early.
Yeah.
And I had to go back to work on a presentation, but my office had a view of the Trade Center. And while I left, I did see both planes hit.
Wow.
And then received a phone call from Nick's fiance. You know, I can't get a hold of Nick. Where are you? And you know, watch the rest of it unfold. So yes, if I didn't have two children at the time, I would have enlisted.
Yeah.
My third child, he realized in high school that he was born 9 months after 9/11.
No kidding.
And it was, yes, I was patriotic before that.
Yeah.
But when you're running to the train station during that event and you see the planes overhead and you see the military showing up, there's no experience. I can't imagine how you can't become patriotic.
Yeah.
I donate to the police department of the NYPD, and I donate to the fire department.
God bless you, man. That's huge.
They save people's lives.
They did. It's right? Amazing. And I hope for America, you know, especially when they hear the show, that they kind of think about that. Sometimes Americans, we have short memories, but somebody like you who lived through that experience, it's in your soul for the rest of your life. So, and it matters, it right? A lot of people sacrifice their life that day and beyond so we can do what we're doing here today at WOKV. So,
yeah, it's funny. So I'll end it on this, but yes. I went to work the next day and my wife was like, "What are you doing?"
Really?
And I said, "I cannot enlist. I'm too old. I've got children. But what I can do, the only way I can fight is to go back to work."
Show up.
Yeah. So that was the only thing I could do.
Mm.
And I did it.
Right? That's awesome.
I'm very proud of it. But it's, you know, when I saw the military on Wall Street, I would go up and thank them and talk to them all the time. I saw the police department in the train stations and stuff. And I still do it. I always walk up to these guys and offer them coffee or drinks or whatever it is. They always say no.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever we can do for the military and the first responders, I think we owe it to them.
Yeah.
For the lifestyles we have.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks for, number one, your support, your patriotism, and then, you know, sharing your personal story, specifically mm-hmm. that relates to New York. So let's kind of jump into it. Let's talk about business ownership. Then let's get into Jacksonville and this thing called Silicon Beach AI.
Yep.
So, you know, when you take a look at your own personal journey, as you know, a lot of veterans in this community and beyond.
Yes.
You know, they talk about opening up their own business. What, you know, based on your observations of what you've seen, what are some bits of advice you would say, hey, man, you need to take a look at this. You need to be, if you're serious about getting a business, start thinking about this now before mm-hmm. you create one.
Yeah. So it's not always about the business itself.
Mm.
It's about that mindset, right? And if you're really serious about considering to start something, what's the market, what's the money, and what's the mindset, right? The money, do people actually want what you're doing, right? That's the difference between a hobby and a business. If they want to pay for it, it's now a business. You have to make sure you validate that, your market. The money, can you survive long enough to make this a going concern, right? And to validate your product market fit, right? That's a big thing. And you and I were talking about this before we went on to talk about this.
Yeah.
And the mindset is, can you operate without the structure and the certainty that you currently have within the military? Right? You're not going to have that. The reality is that your mission clarity that you have today becomes your ambiguity tolerance. Can you tolerate the fact that you don't know what's going to happen and there's no one giving you orders? The rank authority changes to the customer authority. They're now your commander. You have to understand and listen to them and be able to decipher what they're really telling you. And the third thing is compliance, right? Where's the creativity and iteration of what you're doing? So if you're in the military, your reward is doing the mission correct.
Right.
Right? If you're in business, your reward is the market cares. And with that, it may not be your original plan. You may have to iterate and change, right? So there are some major key differences of what you need to think about as you make that transition, right? And again, it's not, the business isn't your idea. The business is what the customer is willing to pay for and pay for consistently.
That's good. I love that. We're going to take a quick nonprofit spotlight. We'll be right back with Jason Engelhart talking about creating your own business.
You're listening to First Coast Military Life, your go-to source for stories, support, and all things military on the First Coast. We're here for those who serve, those who have served, and the amazing communities that have their backs. Got a question or a topic you'd like us to cover? Email us at fcml@wokv.com. That's fcml@wokv.com. We'll be right back with more First Coast Military Life after this short break. Welcome back to First Coast Military Life, where we dive into the stories, issues, and voices that matter most to our military families and those who stand with them. Let's jump back in. Here's your host, retired Colonel Chris Budahas.
Before we get started, a big thank you to our show sponsors, Alexander Law Practice and the Navy Exchange, proudly serving authorized military and civilian patrons. Here on the First Coast, we know we live in a blessed community that cares about our military, our veterans, and their families. We have amazing nonprofits that are literally changing the trajectories of their lives. One of these superstar organizations is the Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinic at Centerstone. And I'm here with the clinical director, Alex Field, an amazing organization that's helping out our veteran population and their families. So can you talk, just for context for our audience, what is Centerstone, and then how do you guys do what you do?
So Centerstone is a nonprofit that partnered with Cohen Veterans Network to birth the Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinics. We opened in 2020, and we do mental health services. So individual, group, couples, family therapy, specifically for post 9/11 veterans, active duty service members, reservists, and National Guard, and any family member of any of those folks.
All of them?
Yes.
To include children, huh?
Yes, children, spouses, caregivers. All of the above.
That's amazing. And how long have you been there?
I've been there for about 4 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how big of a is the mental health counseling demand signal?
There is a lot of need in the community for mental health treatment. We are trying to fill the gap as much as possible, whether it's for veterans or active duty service members. So we address depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, grief, loss, moral injury, all sorts of different things.
Okay. And I got to imagine, you know, between Naval Air Station Jacksonville, we got Mayport across the river on the other side in Georgia is Kings Bay. And then a lot of people forget with Camp Blanding down in Clay County. I mean, again, one of the largest regional training sites for National Guard, which, oh, by the way, does a lot of training outside the National Guard there. And then we got a Coast Guard detachment right down there in Green Cove that there's a lot of folks that may need the help. So you guys at capacity right now? Or
we actually have immediate access to care. So if
that's
you give
unusual.
Us a call.
Yeah, I've got a friend. It's funny. We were having this conversation about his daughter, and he was trying to get her seen in the backlog. It happened to be Fort Benning is in Columbus, Georgia. It was almost an eight-week wait between appointment to actually seeing a provider.
Yeah, we see that a lot, but fortunately, at our clinic, if you call, we can get you in within 24 to 48 hours for an intake, and you are to be seen by a therapist within 2 weeks.
That's amazing. So why do you do what you do?
Oh, why do I do what I do?
Yeah. I mean, you can do a lot of things.
Sure. Yeah. I have personally experienced some traumatic events in my life and been through some community grieving in that process. Yeah. So I saw the helpers and wanted to do that. So I ended up in the field of mental health specifically, and I've been in it ever since.
That's amazing. Thanks for doing that because, you know, even that career field of mental health, you can choose to work for a private practice, but you're working with a nonprofit. That's amazing. So in the last 4 years, would you say I saw I guess good news story, probably the way to put it. What's some good news stories you've seen?
Yeah, so we actually just had a quote from a client the other week. It was a client who had been through some traumatic events, and she basically said at the end of treatment that she felt like she had been through a difficult storm, but she was on the other side, that she was calm and, you know, healing from that process.
Okay. So Alex, how do people find you and how they find the Cohen Military Family Clinic at Centerstone?
You can go to centerstone.org/Cohen, or you can give us a call directly at 904-431-3500.
That's great. And you're on LinkedIn, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You're listening to First Coast Military Life, your go-to source for stories, support, and all things military on the First Coast. We're here for those who serve, those who have served, and the amazing communities that have their backs. Got a question or a topic you'd like us to cover? Email us at fcml@wokv.com. That's fcml@wokv.com. We'll be right back with more First Coast Military Life after this short break. Welcome back to First Coast Military Life, where we dive into the stories, issues, and voices that matter most to our military families and those who stand with them. Let's jump back in. Here's your host, retired Colonel Chris Budahas.
Welcome back to First Coast Military Life. Before we get started, a big thank you to our show sponsors, Alexander Law Practice and the Navy Exchange, proudly serving authorized military and civilian patrons. So before the break, Jason, you're talking about when you create your own business, you got to look at the market, you got to look at the capital, you got to look at the mindset. I love what you said about, is it a hobby or is it actually a business? Because I see that a lot, right?
Right.
As you and I have talked to some new founders, they think like their thing is the thing.
Right.
And you start talking about, Tam, Sam, Som, and you're like, okay, what about other people in this space? They're like, there's no competitors. I'm like,
right.
I think there is, actually.
Right.
So you really got to think that through. And then you got to look at the micro market, what's low, if you're selling local.
Right.
And then beyond that, and then what's your capacity to compete? So with the capital piece of that, I guess that's a critical piece, right? That's the runway that you may need to get the financing, mm-hmm. get it off the ground, mm-hmm. or there's other methods, which we'll get into later about financing. So, okay. So from that structural piece, when you see folks fail mm-hmm. in the first, 3 years, it's probably typically in that market, that money or capital and mm-hmm. mindset. Are there other things you're seeing also?
So when I see small businesses fail, it's for a few reasons, right? And they all this stuff ties back to what I talked about at the beginning, which is there's no real demand, right? Or there's no consistent demand. There is cash flow mismanagement. Money runs out. You're spending on things that maybe you don't need to, like the office furniture and like things like that. Yeah. You know, you and I work out of our homes, right. or we work at coffee shops, and sometimes I work out of cigar shops, right?
Right.
But, we're not spending on a lavish office because it's not important.
Right.
Right? So what is – and I have an example where I worked for a fintech company, and – we moved from the Empire State Building to Park Avenue. Mm. And gorgeous office on Park Avenue. It was a sublet in the Empire State Building. The reality is that was fine. But this guy got so into the colors and the conference rooms, and we ran out of money. Right?
Yeah.
But that CapEx is gone. So that becomes an issue, right? And poor pricing and margins. Do you really understand, are you making a profit?
Yeah.
If you go on sale, you're reducing your margins. So you may actually be increasing the speed to going out of business.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, and then is the sales process really repeatable? Do you have a pipeline? Have you built a pipeline? Do you have random customers or do you have real customers? That's more for the smaller mom and pops people.
Right.
How are people finding you? So, most businesses don't fail. They run out of cash and they quit.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough time to actually figure it out.
Have you seen with a lot of companies that start with, version one of the business plan and then they just never look at it again, never change? They find no value in it? And do you think they should be looking at it? Or
yeah.
at least reflecting on it?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I find many people don't have a business plan. And that's the most incredible thing to me. And the reality is that, in my opinion, the business plan is not really about the plan. It's about you going through the process and understanding what your business is, challenging yourself, and iterating that document. Like you said, it's a living document.
Yeah.
But it's really for you, right? It's not to predict the future. It's to reduce the stupid things, the stupid surprises that you may or may not have. Because if you're taking the time to look at your business plan and write it, you are probably going to ask yourself some questions as you write it that will have you be more alert as things happen going forward. And if you do this once a month, and then as you get more mature, you do it quarterly or something like that, right? But there's a reason why all these big companies have a planning process. It's not necessarily about predicting the future. Part of it may be because you have a steady state business. The other part of it is it's the white space that you're trying to get into, and it's challenging yourself and your company and your managers to think.
Mm.
It's, you know, this isn't rote. Business is not rote, because if something changes, you have to be able to adjust. How do you address that as part of your plan process?
Yeah.
Right? What happens if, and we used to do this on the street all the time, let's assume you lose 10% of your business this year. How are you going to replace that? Plus, on top of it, you need to grow the business by 8, 9, 10, 12%.
Yeah.
Right? So now you have a 20-some-odd percent gap. What are you going to do about it? Right? So God forbid you actually lose that percentage. Let's say you don't, but you've now grown your business by double digits. You're a business or a division that matters, as opposed to you've done nothing, you lose some business, you're not growing, right? If you don't grow by double digits as a division within a big company,
yeah,
they start asking, why do you exist?
Yeah.
Right? One of the mantras that we had on the street was, if you build a new product, it has to generate $100 million. That's the minimum.
That's good.
If not, it's a hobby, and we don't do hobbies.
Yeah.
I want to know that information.
Right.
I want to understand their cash flow and their burn to figure out how many months do they have left. I shouldn't be the one that asks a question and they go, oh, I don't even know. You need to have that information and understand, because that should be creating that extreme ownership and that urgency, right, to really get out there. The other question I ask people is, what's in your pipeline? And within your pipeline, and you and I have talked about this offline, right? You talked about Samsung and, right? I don't care about the TAM as much as other people. You're not really there yet to have VC conversation in many cases and to talk about the TAM, right?
Yeah.
And I would argue when's the right time to go to get investors and stuff like that, as opposed to bootstrapping further. But I am more interested in understanding from your pipeline what's going to convert in the next 8, 12, 18 months.
Okay.
That's your true lifeline of what you should be focusing on for many businesses, right? If you can convert that, then you start tracking conversion rate, right? If you look at like Walmart, which is uber huge, right? And how does that compare to us? You look at the different things that they measure and look at their annual report,
right?
You'd be amazed. That's how they run their businesses, all through those metrics. The same thing with other companies, right? JP Morgan understands what's going on, right? I'm not saying we need to be totally focused on that, but we need to understand the basics.
Yeah.
Does that answer the question?
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that. And then for the audience, the book is, and I'm not getting paid to solicit this, but Finance for Non-Financial Managers, like I've said here before, with our veteran population, those in the military looking to, you know, get out at some point. Again, you know, in the DOD, we spend money. We don't make money. When you're on the outside, if you're not making money, I don't know why you exist. So,
right.
So let's kind of pivot into Silicon Beach AI. So what is this organization? I know what it is, but tell everybody else. And why did you create it? And what has it become? And what is it going to be in the future?
Golly, that's a huge question.
Yeah.
So thank you for the question.
Absolutely.
Silicon Beach started when, after I left these AI and fintech companies, I go around and I see somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 pitches a year. And it's a lot, right? So it's like 50 or 60 some out a week.
Yeah.
And many of them are outside of Jacksonville and LA and San Francisco and Austin, that kind of thing. And what I have found is that there are some patterns. And the first is that the entrepreneurs, in many cases, are not prepared. And then the second thing I find is that the people that are running these events, they're looking for their Shark Tank moment. They want to be able to say, like Mr. Wonderful, take it out back and shoot it. They want to be the Mark Cuban that says, oh, I think this is a scam, or, right? And Lori, the I can pick a hero versus a zero type of thing, right? And the reality is I can't. And I have an ego like everyone else's, but I can't do that. And I have no interest in putting somebody on the spot like that. I look at things as, if this is your passion, go with it, right? I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. The market is.
Okay.
And I will allow the market to tell you that you should take it out back and shoot it. The question is, are you going to see that or not? So the third thing is, people that pitch multiple times, and I've seen many people pitch week after month type of thing, they don't improve. They just give the same pitch over and over again.
Okay.
And I've eventually called some of the people that run these things. I don't need to see Don again. Please have Don stop pitching. If he's not going to make a change, if you're not going to work with him, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Right? So I became really frustrated with that because I didn't see performance happening and changes happening. So I said, you know something? I think I could do this better or different. So what I did was I started my own pitch event online.
Yep.
And then I said, yeah, I'd really like to do it here in Jacksonville live. And the reason I did that is, again, I love Jacksonville. And I was wondering whether we have enough people that it matters.
Yeah.
So the first time, Northwestern Mutual was kind enough to give us a location. And we had 60, 75 people show up to a room that held 25, 30.
I was there.
Yeah. It was amazing. There was a second group happening outside. Yeah. And it was really great. While I was there, UNF was there.
Yep.
And they said, you need a bigger space. We'll give it to you. So thank you, UNF and the Coggin
Business School
for helping us grow. And we've been using a space at an auditorium space. And we've now got about 160 people that are showing up, plus another 30 or so that are online because we do it via Zoom. And last month, we outgrew that space. And they said, you know, we're getting to fire code challenges here and now. We're going to move you to the student center conference room, which we can take a wall down and go from 150 to 300, take that wall down and go to 750.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have a problem with growth. Great. So we are now gone from a quarterly event to a monthly event. Our next event is on the 21st.
Yeah.
And it's going to be UNF. We have AllianceBernstein, which is a big Wall Street firm that's been around for a very long time.
Right.
The national senior managing director is a friend of mine. He's coming down to be on the panel. We have five panelists, and he's going to speak afterwards. Right? If you remember, in the last one in November, we had someone from private equity speak.
Right.
Before that, we had someone from Band of Angels from San Francisco come in, and they spoke. And I'm trying to add a speaker every time at the end that'll have something important for the community.
Yeah.
This person is going, Joel is going to speak about, I think he's going to speak about the thought process and the psychology behind entrepreneurship.
Okay.
I have someone who's a serial entrepreneur for February, and I have a startup attorney for March. So I'm still looking for people to pitch in March. If anyone's interested, please reach out.
Yeah.
Silicon-beach.ai.
Yep.
There's a place where you can identify that you want to pitch. But the whole idea is, how do I help be a part of the growth of the innovation community and ecosystem here? And the selfish byproduct is, if I can do such a thing, maybe I get a client that's here and it stops me from getting on the airplane as often.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate it. I'm going to heavily encourage our audience to get on specific LinkedIn. You're another social media, but specific LinkedIn, get on Silicon Beach. So SiliconBeach-AI on the internet. And then...
Silicon-beach.ai.
Okay, there you go. And then you and I are on LinkedIn. I'll encourage folks to
please
connect with us. And I'll bring you back here. We'll do a part due, if you will, here in the spring, because there's a lot more to unpack here. But what you're doing with Silicon Beach, what a great opportunity. For the audience, I was at Northwest Mutual at the first event, and I've seen it grow. It's amazing. So in November, you had eight companies pitch. Four were here, and then four dialed in, and then you wide and deep, everything from how do you schedule, private aircraft to, basically, how do you make your dog's poo not stink so much type stuff. So
yes.
So it's a great opportunity that you do. And then for me and the audience, one, potential client pickup, but more importantly, I'm getting to self-reflect on where I'm at, where I'm going, and then see the idea space where people are kind of like, oh, wow, so people are thinking in that space. And then, how do I either complement, potentially, definitely network with folks regardless of what space they're in. But it's just, you're causing a following here to me that's increasing the synergy with some other, I'd say, people that are, changing the map of what Jacksonville is to bring in talent and harness talent to be in Northeast Florida. Part of this ecosystem we're building here. So, Jason, thanks for coming in.
Sure. I appreciate it.
Now, folks, find you one more time on LinkedIn, and then how do you find SiliconBeach.ai?
Silicon-beach.ai.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, man.
All right. Hey, folks, big thanks to Jason for coming to the studio. If something we discussed sparked an idea or raised a question, I'd love to hear from you. Drop us a note at fcml@wokv.com. That's Foxtrot Charlie, Mike Lima @wokv.com. Be sure to connect with us both on LinkedIn. See you next segment, Live with Gratitude.
You're listening to First Coast Military Life, your go-to source for stories, support, and all things military on the First Coast. We're here for those who serve, those who have served, and the amazing communities that have their backs. Got a question or a topic you'd like us to cover? Email us at fcml@wokv.com. That's fcml@wokv.com. We'll be right back with more First Coast Military Life after this short break.
Welcome back to First Coast Military Life, where we dive into the stories, issues, and voices that matter most to our military families and those who stand with them. Let's jump back in. Here's your host, retired Colonel Chris Budijas.
I'm proud to be with you on this brand new journey right here at WOKV FM 104.5, where we are airing the new episode every Sunday at 8 a.m. And of course, you can catch us anytime online or wherever you get your podcasts. A show that is built for this incredible military community that we're lucky to live in and call home. Jacksonville in Northeast Florida has deep military roots. From Naval Air Station Jacksonville to Naval Station Mayport, from Camp Blanding to Naval Submarine Base Kings Bay and everywhere in between, this region has played a vital role in America's national defense for nearly a century. But it's more than just about bases and equipment. It's about the people. It's about the 170,000 active duty veterans, reservists, National Guardsmen, military families, and incredible people that live in this community that support us and support our military. That's why First Coast Military Life is here and to talk about their stories, their voices, their experience, and their continued journey both in and out of uniform. Jacksonville isn't just another military town. It's a cornerstone of America's national defense and its community that stands strong beside them through deployments, homecomings, and everything in between. A very important component of our show, First Coast Military Life on WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk, will be community event announcements. Getting relevant information out to you is very important to us. Every show at this time, the last 5 minute segment, will go into community events. If you have a community event, please send us that information at fcml@wokv.com. That is fcml@wokv.com. We want to make sure that we amplify the community voice, create engaging content, encourage community involvement, and promote a variety of events and resources available to the First Coast military community. That's what First Coast Military Life on WOKV is all about. Now, here are some upcoming events that are happening for us.
First Coast Military Life, brought to you by the Alexander Law Practice and Consolidated Utilities Pump Station Pros. VCDC Monthly Meeting, February 17th, 2026, American Legion Post 137, 5443 San Juan Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32210. VSO at the Pablo Creek Regional Library, February 18th, 2026, Pablo Creek Regional Library, 13295 Beach Boulevard, Jacksonville, Florida, 32246. Ask a Lawyer, J-Law, February 19th, 2026. Military Affairs and Veterans Department inside City Hall, 117 West Duval Street, number 175, Jacksonville, Florida, 32202. 2026 Source Sim and Trade Career Symposium, University of North Florida, Adam West Herbert University Center, Tuesday, February 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Med Evidence, Ask the Doctor, Friday, February 27th, here in the Fair and Fair Performance Studio at WOKV. Know your numbers and what they mean with Dr. Michael Corin. Join us for a free lunch seminar, The Importance of Knowing Your Numbers, on Friday, February 27th with cardiologist Dr. Michael Corin and WOKV's Rich Jones. It's time to take control and know what your numbers mean. Reserve your place today. Doors open at 11:30 a.m. Lunch provided by Carrabba's Bay Meadows. Presentation starts at 12 p.m. Reserve your space today. Email medevent@cmg.com. That is medevent@cmg.com. First Coast Military Life, brought to you by the Alexander Law Practice and Consolidated Utilities Pump Station Pros. If you have a community event or happening that is First Coast Military Life should be made aware of, please send it to us at fcml@wokv.com. That is fcml@wokv.com.
If you have a community event or happening that the First Coast Military Life should be made aware of, please send it to us at fcml@wokv.com. That is fcml@wokv.com. That's it for the show this week. We will see you next week right here at First Coast Military Life on WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.
You're listening to First Coast Military Life, your go-to source for stories, support, and all things military on the First Coast. We're here for those who serve, those who've served, and the amazing communities that have their backs. Got a question or a topic you'd like us to cover? Email us at fcml@wokv.com. That's fcml@wokv.com.